Last week we talked about being an in-betweener. That is like cheering for Calgary and Edmonton and not knowing where to put your loyalty. An in-betweener needs the Spirit in your life. In order to continue in this life, in order to survive in this life, you need the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to us, is so that we could live in this life and not just survive, but have life what? Abundantly. So he's equipped us for every good work, for everything that we come by in this world. God has equipped us for everything. He's sovereign, isn't he? He's planned out everything, hasn't he? We just don't understand everything like he does. So we know as in-betweeners in the world that is and the kingdom to come, we need the Holy Spirit. Well, we gather every Sunday as what? What are we called? The church. You are the church. You are a part of the body, the church. And in the church, we have what's called a fellowship. Correct? It's a fellowship. It's commonly known as a fellowship. Well, the fellowship of the church is a spiritual fellowship as well as a physical fellowship. It is, as I might say, a fellowship of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are familiar with Lord of the Rings? Have you watched the movie? Have you read the books? The books are even better than the movie. But I love the story of Lord of the Rings. I can watch it every year. I think we've watched it every year. And the story goes that there's this ring that was created by the evil Lord Sauron. And he made 17 rings altogether. And he gave rings to men, he gave rings to elves, he gave rings to dwarves. But not as a gift, but as something to enslave the people. And he creates a ring for himself that is over top of every other ring. I forget how it's said. What is it? One ring to rule them all. Right. So what happens is Frodo Baggins gets in. He stumbles along the ring. And he has the ring, and he is basically assigned to take this ring, this one ring, and to go put it into Mount Doom and destroy it. Interesting thing is, Frodo Baggins is what? He's a hobbit. Do you know how big hobbits are? If they existed, they're about like this tall. So when you're watching the movie, you're going, okay, this guy is going to go on this dangerous journey. He's going to fight trolls and orcs and all these things and toss the ring into Mount Doom. Yeah, right. Well, Mr. Tolkien, in this brilliant writing of this book, this fantasy novel, that a lot of people go, hey, there's a lot of Christian overtones to this. Talking about the life of Christ and a person living their life in Christ. He gets a fellowship together. It's three humans, a dwarf, an elf, and there's four of them hobbits. And they gather together in a fellowship to do what? To destroy the ring. And it's called The Fellowship of the Ring. That's the first movie. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring. What has to happen in order to have a fellowship? Anybody? A common goal. Yes. A common purpose. A commonality that unites everybody together. In The Lord of the Rings, is to destroy this ring so that evil will not be released on the rest of the known world and everybody be enslaved. So they had to destroy the ring. In the church, what is the commonality? If we have the church as a fellowship, what is the commonality? We have the Holy Spirit. We have also what? The Great Commission. Okay, go out into all the world. That's the Great Commandment. What's the Great Commandment? What's the Great Commandment? Love one another. Love God. Love one another. Love one another as you love yourself. So we got the Great Commission. We got the Great Commandment. And how do we summarize that? Love God. Love people. Love your world. If you want to get any shorter, love well. Okay? The commonality in the church is who? Jesus Christ. We worship God, and we believe that God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. Right? Remember? What Cody did? And the thing that brings us together as a fellowship is what? That we are all sinners. That we have all fallen. That we have all lost our way because something happened in the garden a long time ago with Adam and Eve, and they ate something. They ate an apple from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did what? They disobeyed God. And as a result of that, they brought sin and death into the world. So we have a commonality as human beings, as created in the image of God, that we've become perverted. We've become pronounced under a curse of sin and death that never, ever was to happen. God never had intentions for us to suffer death and suffer sin. But we thought God's holding out on us. We're not going to trust Him. We're not going to believe Him. We know better. So we have that in common with us as human beings. Created in the image of God, we have fallen in sin and death. But we also have this commonality in common. Not only have we been created in the image of God, every single one of us, but Jesus Christ died for every single one of us. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Whether we choose to acknowledge Him or not, that is the plain fact. We also have commonality of the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by Jesus. He said, I'm sending you another counselor who will do what? Lead you into all truth. All knowledge. Remind you of me and what I've told you to do and what I've told you not to do, and to guide you in this life, to give you power in this life, to have life abundantly. We have Him as a commonality. But how many of us have grabbed onto Him as a commonality? How many of us live by the Holy Spirit as a commonality in power, not defeated? He is there, given to us for this very purpose. The church is a spiritual fellowship. It is not just a fellowship of you and I coming together physically to be in this physical building, to sing some physical songs, to play some physical music, and to greet one another or love upon one another physically or emotionally. But this gathering is a spiritual gathering. It has been done from the beginning of time, and it will continue until the end of time. We are joined with a great witness of the saints from the heavenly realms to the physical realms today. This is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, might I add. What do you do with a fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What you see on the screen, I see before me. What is the definition of biblical fellowship? A biblical fellowship means to share in, to participate, to commune together. What are we celebrating today? Communion. A coming together of like-minded individuals with one purpose, with one goal, with one fellowship in the Spirit because of Christ. This is a spiritual gathering, a spiritual fellowship. It is an agreement, a participation of the communion of the saints, if you will, who have trusted and believed and confessed that Jesus Christ is Savior and He is Lord. Amen? We have been justified by the blood of Christ. Having received the Holy Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit as in the light, following Christ in love, doing His will, and practicing the truth as the Bible records. This fellowship is to be marked by walking in the light. In the light of God. A fellowship that refuses, rebukes and rejects the ways of darkness and the devil. 1 John 1, 5-7 says this. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, 5-7. So what do we read? That God is light. And in Him there's no darkness. He is not Lord Sauron in sheep's clothing. He is all light. Fellowship is a spiritual communion. And if we do not, if we walk in darkness and don't walk in the light and claim to have spiritual fellowship with Him, we lie and do not practice the truth, the Apostle John says. But he says, if we do walk by His ways, but we walk by His commandments, we walk in His will, then we have fellowship with Him, but we also have what? Fellowship with one another. Isn't that an interesting statement? That you and I cannot have spiritual fellowship if I'm walking in darkness. We don't have fellowship with God, and we don't have fellowship with one another. We may appear and be in the same house, but we don't have fellowship with one another. Because I'm walking in darkness. I'm entertaining sin and sins in my life, and it's running rampant in my life. I can't identify with you. We don't share a commonality. That communion is broke. To walk in fellowship with God and with one another is to reject walking in the darkness of the devil. It's to reject walking in His ways that are revealed in this world, and instead we walk in the ways of Jesus. As He is the light, we become the light. Is that a startling statement for you to hear? That you are out of fellowship with that person next to you, or with the people in here, if you entertain sin and follow sin and allow sin to run rampant in your life. You have no fellowship. The church is rendered ineffective. Prayers are ineffective. Barriers are put in place, and most of all, the Holy Spirit cannot work. He cannot walk. He cannot invade and come into our fellowship and move as He would love to move. But yet nothing is impossible with God. He still tries to. But like we said last week, what's the most important thing in our life, in our relationship with the Spirit? We need to yield. We need to yield to Him. Then we can be filled with Him. But we have to yield because the Spirit is already there. When we came to salvation through Jesus, He gave us His Spirit. We created a new life. He created a new life in us. The old man is dead, but this body is still a beachhead for sin. And so I can be tempted. I can be tempted and I can fall. But thank you, Jesus, that I can come to Him and confess my sin and be forgiven. I got to see where we're at here. 1 John 1:1-3 says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and we have heard, we proclaim to you so that you too may have what? Say the word. Fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The communion of saints is more than reciting the Lord's Prayer or saying the Apostles' Creed or coming to church and joining and singing. The communion of saints is a spiritual fellowship marked by obedience to the Lord Jesus. I am not in fellowship with God if I have not trusted in Jesus and walking in His light. Interesting. This next passage, put on, should be the next one there. We have biblical fellowship is a spiritual communion. Okay? That's what biblical fellowship is. And I want you to look at this verse, Colossians 3:12-17. Says, the Apostle Paul says, put on. Put on. Okay? He's not saying, go find what you need. He says, put on because you already have it. It's already been accomplished. When you died with Christ, you've been given everything you need in order to live in this life. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones. You're chosen by God. God chose you to be holy and beloved. It says, be compassionate, have compassionate hearts, have kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Are you walking that way? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love. Again, action word, put on love. It just doesn't come naturally. You have to chase it. You have to pursue it through the Holy Spirit. Because God said what? Jesus said, I've put my Holy Spirit in you in order to love. Put on love, which binds everything together in what? Unity. That's what perfect harmony means. It means unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Unity. One body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of who? The Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now you look at that, what do you pick out? What stands out to you? There should be something that stands out to you. You see those bolded words? What's that mean? Those are character words. Paul's talking about character here. And then he does a switch. And those underlined words, he's talking about what? Conduct. Actions. So Paul's talking about character and conduct in this passage. He's saying, this is what biblical fellowship is. This is what fellowship of the Holy Spirit looks like. Have you ever been in a club? As a kid, did you ever set up a club? Who was allowed in your club? Not girls. I had a tree house and I had a club. I had a club in my house underneath the basement steps where no parents were allowed. They couldn't find me because the space was no bigger than this down here. And I would crawl underneath there. And I would lay down. I had some coloring books. I'd color. I'd have a light, turn on the light. And then when mom came looking, I'd turn off the light. And then hide. Clubs have rules. Fellowships have rules. And whether they're silly or not, they're in place for a reason. Why? In the case of God, it's why? To have life. To have communion. He does everything for us for what? For good. For our good. Interesting, when you look at these words on here, do you recognize these words? Do you recognize them from somewhere else? Do they remind you of something? Switch the next one. Galatians 5, 22, 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you still not believe that this body that we call the church is not a spiritual fellowship? That the Holy Spirit is to be an active part in our church? Is not to be just a part of the church. He is to be of the church. He is the church. Us in Him. And Him in us. Just as Jesus said He would do. Biblical fellowship is a Holy Spirit communion. As you come to the communion table today, maybe you'll look at it a little bit different. That this isn't just a physical, symbolic action that I'm taking, but that I'm uniting myself with every believer and follower in Christ of past, present, and future, and especially with Jesus. This is a spiritual fellowship, a spiritual table, a communion of the saints. What does it mean to put on something? You know, you can take this as Paul would talk about it in some sections. He would say, put it on like a garment, like a coat, like a jacket, right? Put it on. But it also means that something has to come off. Unless, you know, you're partying around in your birthday suit. But he says you need to put on and something has come off and put off. And we talked about that last week. We need to put off the old man, the old ways, the old thoughts, the old habits by renewing our mind, renewing our heart, yielding to the Spirit. Simply, the Apostle Paul is saying, you already have the new self. You received that when you believed in Jesus. And the new self, the new creation, is marked by what? The infilling of the Spirit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You can switch the slide. To put on means that which was already taken care of. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. The Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to live and be different. He is the one that enables us to have true communion and fellowship together. Fellowship and communion aren't just words. They represent a spiritual bond. So then how do I apply this new life? Well, first of all, new life, like we says, means you have to take something off. So what concept or theology do we have about that, that John talks about, that Paul talks about, that Jesus talks about? What does he say? He says, 1 John 1:8-10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we what? Our sins? Confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a what? A liar, and his word is not in us. His truth is not in us. Therefore, we don't have true fellowship with him or with each other. Romans 3:23, Apostle Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the what? Glory of God. Again, Apostle John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. These are sharp words. No one who continues to live in sin or let sin reign in their bodies, the Apostle Paul says, has fellowship with God or with each other. It's a spiritual fellowship. But thank you to our Lord Jesus Christ. John says this in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Why does God want to confront us with our sin? Why is that a prime purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why? Because he wants us to have fellowship with him and with each other. A cord of what? Three cannot be broken. That means a cord of one or two can be. Without God, without the Holy Spirit, our fellowship, our communion with God can be broken, and broken easy. Sin separates us from him and from each other. It makes the communion of the saints, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, maybe less effective, definitely less effective. And it makes us uninhabitable to the Spirit. We suppress him. We don't yield to him anymore, so we push him down, we push him down. Jesus said, my spirit will never leave you, but you can refuse to acknowledge it. You can refuse to live with him. You can ignore his voice. You can become desensitized to his promptings. I wish that upon no one, because then you're given over to your own desires, as Paul writes in Romans 1. And you know no different. We have a world full of people who have suppressed the voice of God and live knowing no different. Next slide. Next slide. James says there, he says, confess your sin to who? To God, but also to who? To one another. Why is that? You can go back one slide. He says, so that you will be what? Healed. So that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. When's the last time we confessed to one another? Not a chance. Right? Right? Am I lying? It is not in our nature to do that. We want to crawl into the darkness. And Jesus says, my gospel is given for what? My spirit? To pull you into the light. To cast out darkness. True fellowship, a Holy Spirit fellowship, means I confess my sin to not only God, but to somebody else. To maybe the person that I've offended. To maybe to a compatriot that I can trust that is going to hold me accountable. What's accountability? What's accountability? Anybody? How would you term it? Greg? Being responsible for your actions. Great. Awesome. In accountability, you're asking somebody else to help you be responsible. It's a biblical mandate. Do you have that person in your life? Oh, don't go there. This isn't a nice area. It's very uncomfortable. You want to know what we talked about yesterday in our men's get together? All the ladies going, yes, I do, because my husband didn't tell me. What do we talk about, guys? Porn. Ooh, that's a definite uncomfortable subject. Why do we talk about porn? Because men, both Christians and non-Christians, are getting tripped up in it. They're falling. They're failing. And it's destroying lives. And men are ashamed of it. But we feel that we cannot share it with another. Especially if we struggle with it with our wives. Why? Because it might mean disaster, shame, embarrassment, being kicked out of ministry. Why do we highlight sexual sin so much? Why do we highlight porn? Why do we highlight adultery? Why do we highlight extracurricular activities outside of marriage? Why are those so bad? Aren't they as bad as a lie? Do you read your Bible on that? What does the Bible say? All sin is equal. Jesus Christ died how many times for sin? Once. Once. One time for all sin. He didn't die 7 different times for adultery or porn. He died once. And his righteousness, his sinlessness made a covering for all sin. But only what? If I come, trust in him, accept him, and confess my sin to him, I'm forgiven. So why do we highlight sexual sin so much other than a little white lie? Because man likes to measure things, right? How many of you men have never measured anything? True? You take out a measuring tape, measuring stuff. Well, how much do you make? Where do you work? What grade did you get? Where are you in the book? Have you read your Bible? Do you hear the word measurement? And comparing? That's in our nature. We want to do that because we want to be what? The best. We want to find somebody that we're better than because we have something in our in us that pops out. What's it called? Pride. Did you know pride is the number one thing that breaks unity in a church? Why is that? Because I'm putting forth myself. Maybe I'm putting forth myself, I'm better than what I am, and I want to be perceived that way. Because if people really knew who I was, that I struggled with this sin or that sin, they wouldn't accept me. True? Very true. Can you have true fellowship if you're not honest with one another? Can you have a true intimate relationship with your spouse if you're not honest with them? Is your family close if you're not honest with each other? No. And it's the same thing in the church. What does Jesus compare the church to? Marriage. Marriage. So where are we with the Spirit? Where are we with the Spirit? Very important. So he says, put on these things. Okay, next slide. Put off the old man, put on the new things. Put on these things. This is what a Holy Spirit fellowship looks like. There's compassion. We have compassion and care for one another. There's kindness towards one another. Because why? Because Christ's kindness for me. He died, gave his life for me. We celebrate that today. Humility, not thinking poorly of oneself, but rather having the proper esteem of oneself in the will and image of God. Okay? What's being honest about ourselves, guys? What's being honest about ourselves, church? We're all sinners. The great equality. We're all sinners. We've all failed. We will all fail at some point, but if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and loved. And we are to do likewise. Likewise. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness, but it's power under control. Right? It's like a soothing wind is the word picture. A soothing wind. A soothing wind. Oh, that's nice. But it's power under control, because that wind can become what? A storm, a tornado. Okay? This is what meekness is. Next. Long-suffering or patience. The word there is put on a long temper. Be slow to boil. Right? That's my sin. That's my weakness. Okay? Is that. I can have a short temper. When I get a short temper, I act impulsively, and usually what happens? Disaster. Hurt. Okay? Then I have to get up and go, I got to go apologize. Right? Forbearance. Holding back. God is a God of forbearance because he held back and is holding back his righteous judgment until what time? When he returns. And gives us an opportunity to respond to his gift, to his invitation. Forgiveness is not enough for Christians to endure provocation and grief and refuse to retaliate, but we must what? Forgive one another. This is where pride trips us up, isn't it? I'm not going to forgive them. Not a chance. Forget it. They don't deserve it. But Jesus said, if you are my disciples, you must what? Forgive. Love and forgive. Okay? Am I living in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? It's those things. Confess sin and put on the things that are available to us that the Holy Spirit has put in place that are possible. To have fellowship, to retain fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to invite the Spirit into our lives. Picture it this way. How many of you drive a car? I know it's a rhetorical question. How many of you drive a car, have driven a car, want to drive a car? Right? What's important in a car? Gas. I've got lots of that. I'm just talking motivation. Keep on going. What else other than gas? The engine, okay? How do you know if your heart is right? There's a dashboard. What does the dashboard do? Communicates with you if something is wrong. Or confirms that what you're doing, what you want to do, is right. You have this dashboard, you have these lights, right? Did I tell you the story? Yeah, I think I did. Of the, what's the car I told you guys about? My black car. My Eurosport, Chevy Eurosport, my dream car, right? What was my dream car? My dream car was a Chevy Eurosport. Well, you know what? I ended up putting in three engines in that thing. Three. Because why? I ignored the dashboard light. It was off and it was going, you need oil. It sat there for like probably 3 weeks. You need oil. The car was like, I'm sending out signals. And what happened? I know what happened because I was on my way to work at Canada Trust on a Saturday morning. It was minus 45. Car started. I got in the car, started driving out, going off on the onto the ring road, if you know what Regina is, and it stalled right there. Would not budge. Everything. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Are dashboard lights going off? Return to fellowship. Get right with me. The big one in the middle is time is just about up. Right? Confess your sin. Let me give you a suggestion quickly about the different gauges on your dashboard. And I got this from Dr. Rob Reimer, so this ain't mine. He's way smarter than me. You have a compassion gauge. Compassion gauge that you need to come back and visit the Spirit is when I find myself irritated or irritable by people, things, or situations. Anybody been there? Had a gauge go off? Yes. How about a brokenness gauge? When am I bothered by sin? Am I bothered by the conviction of the Spirit? Am I humbled by His conviction, or do I stand in pride? That's the biggest light on this gauge, is pride. Okay, there's the peace gauge. Does the peace of Christ rule in my heart? Is it there? Or do I feel anxious? Because anxiety, I know it well, equals what? No peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. Am I having trouble trusting God? Maybe I'm too busy. Maybe I've offended someone. Maybe I've sinned against somebody. That gauge goes off. What about a passion gauge? Do I have competitors for my affection? Have I allowed Jesus to become secondary and something else to become primary? It's a false love. Or what about my listening gauge? Is my soul dry and dusty, or is it lush and overflowing? Do I hear God's voice? Or if I don't, why do I not? And there's the stress gauge. The stress gauge goes off probably the most. Why? Because I'm not walking in what Dr. Rob Reimer calls the river. The Apostle John uses that image of the Holy Spirit. I'm not walking in the river. So I flip out on stress, on hardships, on difficulties. Times of fun flip me out for some reason. Work, my family, my spouse, my parents, my friends. He says this, internal chaos leads to external chaos. Very true? Sure. So what's happened? I take my eyes off Christ. And he says, you need to look up. Look up. I'm bigger than your circumstances. I created them, or I helped them come along, or you created them, and I want to help you out of them. So ultimately what? Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is what? The wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. We are told to guard our hearts. Why? Because a heart that goes wayward falls out of fellowship. There's no more spiritual compatibility. But we can confess to Christ and we can come back. So this is a spiritual thing. Our community, our church, is a Holy Spirit fellowship. Are we serious about it? Do we care about it? When are the times that you're more likely to fall out of fellowship with the Spirit and with others? These are questions to think about and bring back home. When you're hurt, do you put up a shield in place to guard your heart from people that have hurt you or from possibly being hurt again? The thing about putting a shield in place is that your heart gets hard underneath. And you also can't hear God properly. What's the key to humility? Allowing God, listening to God, following God through whatever he wants, because he says, I'll bless somebody that is contrite and humble, but he who is prideful cannot hear me. When the lights on my dashboard go off, what's that an indicator of? My heart needs attention. I may be wavered from the Spirit. Father, this is your spiritual fellowship. It's just not a place that we attend and not a place that we just come to hear your word, to socialize, but it's a place where we come to fellowship and worship the Lord God and join together as a spiritual body that has done so for so many centuries. Of history, and will do so for so many more. Father, would you bless us with your Spirit in our fellowship? Would you convict us of sin? Would you convict us of wrongdoing? Would you allow those that maybe we've hurt to receive, to hear our confession, and to offer forgiveness? May we be able to take off our face masks and be real and be accepted. Holy Spirit, would you work with our hearts that way? And would you bless our time as we pass the communion cup around the bread? If we need to take time to confess to you this morning, that we would do so. That we would be made right with you and right with whoever that might be that we need to be made right with. Bless our fellowship time together. In your name we pray, Lord.